Good morning, and welcome to another edition of Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. Hi, I'm Chris McElyea, your host today. I am so glad that you've joined me and hope that you will stay with us for the next hour or so as we spend time in God's Word this morning in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33, as we continue our ongoing study of the Old Testament in 2017. And we'll be getting right to that here in just a moment. But before we do that, I do want to make mention of an upcoming gospel meeting that's going to be taking place at the North Jefferson Church of Christ in Mount Pleasant, Texas. The dates for this series of gospel meetings will begin this Sunday, October 15th, and run through the 18th. The topic of this gospel meeting is Jesus or Me. What will it be? The speaker for this series of meetings is Brother Kevin Cauley. Brother Kevin was born in Abilene, Texas in 1968. He was raised in the Austin, Texas area, and he is a graduate of the Southwest School of Bible Studies, class of 1989. He also graduated from the University of Texas in 1994. And St. Edward's University in 2010. In 1991, Kevin married Mary Lynn Forehand, and he has preached at congregations in Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, and Mississippi. Kevin has worked as an instructor at the Southwest School of Bible Studies and is currently the pulpit preacher for the New Boston Church of Christ in New Boston, Texas. He has four sons, Austin, Charles, Edward, and Gavin. Now, these meetings will begin this Sunday, October the 15th, at 9 a.m. in the Bible class hour with the topic of the only thing to fear. In the worship hour at 10, it's all about me. And then Sunday evening at 6 p.m., the topic will be the secret that isn't a secret. On Monday at 7 p.m., the Green-Eyed Monster. You will have two opportunities to attend. On Tuesday, there will be a morning class at 10 a.m., the topic of If I Were a Rich Man. Then at 7 p.m. Tuesday evening, Mount St. Helens all over again. And then this series of meetings will come to a conclusion Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. with the topic of Empire of Desire. And so that is the upcoming gospel meeting at the North Jefferson Church of Christ in Mount Pleasant, Texas. And for more information, you can call 903-572-1136 or visit their website at www.njcofc.com. Okay, we're going to turn our attention now to our topic at hand this morning, Ezekiel chapter 33. And it begins with the word of the Lord coming to Ezekiel and the fact that he is to be a watchman for the children of Israel, a very stubborn, arrogant, and rebellious people. We begin in verse 1. Again the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people, and say to them, When I bring the sword upon a land, and the people of the land take a man from their territory, and make him their watchman, when he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself. But he who takes warning will save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. And so we find, as we enter chapter 33 here, that this begins the third and final section of the book of Ezekiel. And in this section, through the end of the book, we're going to see God's mercy. And as we begin chapter 33 here, Ezekiel is again assigned the responsibility of serving as a spiritual watchman for the house of Israel. Now God gives him reminder of the duties and the responsibility of the watchman. Here he reminds him that when the watchman sees the enemy approaching, then he should blow the trumpet. That is his responsibility, to sound forth the warning. And those that hear and respond to the warning will save themselves, but those that do not will be destroyed. But the watchman himself, Ezekiel, if he gives the warning, he's done his part. Those that die, their blood will not be upon his hands. But if the watchman fails to sound forth the warning, he is to be accountable for the failure to do so. And can't we see here the spiritual application today? Those of us who have received the gospel message and responded to it have the duty of the watchman to sound forth the call to this lost and dying world. We are to follow the Great Commission. We are to go and to teach all nations. And also, we think of Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus told us to preach the gospel to every creature. But those that do not respond, we will not be held accountable for if we've given the warning. We continue with verse 7. So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Now we find here great similarity to what we earlier read in chapter 3 in our study, in verses 17 through 19. And here, this responsibility again is repeated and bound upon the prophet. And he is given the understanding here of what his responsibility is. And so, Ezekiel must sound forth the warning. It is the responsibility of the watchman of a land to announce, to cry out the approach of the enemy. The failure to do so was tantamount to a death sentence for the watchman. And so God has appointed Ezekiel as a watchman over Israel. He is required to sound forth the warning of the coming judgment against Israel when it comes. We must sound forth the warning of the consequence of sin in this day and age, if we intend to fulfill our duties as soldiers of Christ. And so, Ezekiel, by doing so, fulfills his duty when he warns Israel concerning their sinfulness and the consequences of it. In those days, the job of a watchman was a very important job. It carried great responsibility, and the person who held that position held a great responsibility. He must constantly be vigil. He must constantly be alert, be sober, awake. But isn't that what a Christian should be? In matter of fact, when we think about the elders today, these are the things they are to be. They are to be alert and watchful, of a grave disposition, taking seriously the role of shepherding and overseeing the flock. Indeed, the elder must stand watch. At the earliest sign of the enemy, he was to sound the trumpet. He would alert the citizens of the area of the coming danger. We think of 2 Kings chapter 9 and verse 17. Here, a watchman in those days, it says, "Now a watchman stood on the tower in Jezreel, and he saw the company of Jehu as he came, and said, I see a company of men. And Joram said, Get a horseman, and send him to meet them, and let him say, Is it peace? The watchman was alert and ready. Consider Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 1. The watchman again, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. In Amos chapter 3 and verse 6, we read that if a trumpet is blown in a city, will not the people be afraid? If there is a calamity in a city, will not the Lord have done it? The watchman is a great responsibility. We have a great responsibility today. Parents, should you not be a watchman for your children? Should you stand ready to protect them from harm that may come? Are you alert to the things that are on television, radio, music, social media, the computer? Are you not sounding the alarm to prevent their harm from these things? Ezekiel's task was not watching for the coming invaders. He was not even in Jerusalem. There were watchmen assigned to that. Ezekiel was a spiritual watchman. He was to warn Israel of their sin and their error and the need to turn from it. In fact, his role as a watchman was far greater than the physical watchman of Israel watching for what would eventually come in the form of the Babylonians. He was to warn them of the far greater dangers of sin and their error. If he properly warned them, he will have done his job, and he would not bear the responsibility. But if Ezekiel failed to give proper warning, he would be guilty of the failure of carrying out his duty. And we need to really think about this in connection with today when we look at the church and the great sin and trouble that is upon the church today because preachers have failed to warn the brethren, being more concerned about their pocketbook, the security of their job, or just the fear of repercussion. Make no mistake, those who have the responsibility of delivering the whole counsel of God to the precious blood-bought church of Jesus Christ will stand accountable for the failure to declare the whole counsel of God. We must remember, oftentimes the most dangerous false teachers are not those that teach false doctrine, for they are easily exposed. Often it is the ones who simply just do not declare the whole counsel of God. They only speak smooth things, as Isaiah would talk about. But preachers are to sound the warning today. We are to deliver the word of God to all. And those that take heed to the preaching, to the warning, will be saved. But those who reject it or neglect it are signing their own death sentence. But we need to understand that if we have properly warned, we will not be held accountable. Again, elders must give serious consideration and realize the gravity of the responsibility of caring for the saints in a congregation. If the elders do not fulfill their duties, those who are among the flock which they oversee, those that do not fulfill their duties in warning them will be lost. They will be held accountable. Consider Hebrews 13:17. Here we are told to obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Again, the watchman in the church. And yes, this includes elders. It includes preachers, deacons, teachers. All faithful saints have the responsibility of being a watchman. But every individual will be accountable for the deeds done in their body. If we think of chapter 18 in verse 20, there we recall that The Son will not bear the sins of the Father. The Father will not bear the sins of the Son. But we must understand and we must realize the gravity and responsibility that is upon the faithful saints in this day and age. Verse 10. Therefore you, O Son of Man, say to the house of Israel, thus you say, if our transgressions and our sins lie upon us, and we pine away in them, how can we then live? Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn, turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? There is a lot for us to digest here in verse 10. Here we see what becomes of those exiles of Israel when they finally realize and see their true situation, their condition before God. If we think back to chapter 12 and verse 22, there we saw that they had responded to Ezekiel's message with ridicule and scorn toward the messenger. Instead of responding to Ezekiel's message, his warning, they would deny they were guilty of anything. They felt they were just fine, that they were God's people. And anything that they did wrong, the fault would be placed upon their fathers. They had placed their spiritual lives in the hands of false teachers. They believed the lies. But now, those who have survived see the condition here we realize that they are in. They were now in the bonds of Babylonian captivity. And there was no king, there was no leader that was going to be their deliverer in the earthly sense from the Babylonians. They could not deliver themselves, nor could anyone else. But isn't that exactly the situation today for those that need to be warned? The fact that there is no amount of good, no amount of works or deeds or any other individual, not your spouse, your parents, your children, your neighbor, or your best friend. There is no earthly power that can deliver you from the depth of sin. Only God. We might recall that many, many years before, when they first had left Egypt, God had forewarned them of what would happen if they failed to follow Him, to keep His commandments. We can read all the way back in Leviticus chapter 26, where they were warned of what would happen if they turned away. And you see, the Israelites who found themselves in captivity in Babylon, there was no help for them until they would realize their only help was God, that they were in sin, that God was the only hope. What a shame that it took years and years and years each time Israel found themselves in trouble to turn to God. And we think of a nation today that has turned so far from God. And now we see more and more troubles surrounding us by the day. Why will it in all likelihood take some great catastrophic situation to eventually turn man back toward God? You see, there is not anything that one can do to help an alien sinner or an erring saint until they realize they are in sin. God is patient and long-suffering. God desires all men to come to repentance, as Peter told us. He wants man to turn from evil, to turn from sin. But God, though His mercy and grace is extended to man, He will not save anyone that does not turn from sin. God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God does not desire for any man to spend eternity in hell. But those who refuse to turn from sin will find themselves exactly in that position. Verse 12. Therefore you, O son of man, say to the children of your people, the righteousness of man, of the righteous man shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall because of it in the day that he turns from his wickedness, nor shall the righteous be able to live because of his righteousness in the day that he sins. When I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, but he trusts in his own righteousness and commits iniquity, none of his righteous works shall be remembered. But because of the iniquity that he has committed, he shall die. Again, when I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, if he turns from his sin and does what is lawful and right. The righteous man, or let me say the righteousness, deeds of a man at one point in his life, they're not going to offset wickedness that he may turn to later on. The wickedness of a man will be removed when he turns from that, when he turns to God. You see, when this life ends, our soul, our heart, our actions must be right in the sight of God. No matter how much righteousness we did, if we did it for 80 years, but then lived the last 5 years in unrighteousness, we will give account. The things done previously will not cover our last state. You see, that individual has fallen from grace. The Israelites had been terribly sinful. And yet, if they would respond to the preaching of Ezekiel and they would turn now from those wicked ways, they could be saved. They could be delivered. for the things of the past would be forgotten. The man, if a man puts his trust in his past and chooses to live in wickedness today, he has misplaced his trust. You know, many times I've been to funerals where the speaker would talk about the deceased. He would talk about how at a young age, old Joe had accepted Christ, that he made a commitment to Jesus as his Savior, as if somehow that might erase the 40 years that he lived in rebellion against God before he died. And that is simply not the case. The past is exactly that, the past. The hope for the wicked is to repent and to change. Where has man gotten the idea that this type of individual might, will inherit the kingdom of God? Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. Do we not understand that those who live in unrighteousness, for example, some of these sins that was mentioned there in 1 Corinthians, no matter how regular you were in church attendance as a child, as a teenager, no matter how many old ladies you helped across the street, no matter how many people you talked with about the Bible at that time, if you live your later life as an adulterer, a fornicator, a drunkard, a homosexual, a sodomite, you are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. How much plainer could the Apostle Paul have been? Verse 17. Yet the children of your people say, the way of the Lord is not fair. But it is their way which is not fair. When the righteous turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, he shall die because of it. But when the wicked turns from his wickedness and does what is lawful and right, he shall live because of it. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not fair, O house of Israel. I will judge every one of you according to his own ways. How incredibly insane was it that the Israelites thought that they were being punished unfairly by God? Their ancestors had lived wickedly, and they didn't suffer this exile, so they thought that God was unfair to them. They said that very thing in chapter 18. But God shows right here that we are all judged by the things done in this body. God is truly just. No one will have to answer for the sins of anyone but themselves. They somehow believed that they were going to receive salvation simply because They were God's chosen people. They were the seed of Abraham. Did they not realize that God could raise up children to Abraham from stones, according to Matthew chapter 3? God is going to judge man by his own deeds. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says that we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and that we will all receive the things that are done in the body, whether good or whether evil. Romans 14 reminds us that we will all bow before Christ, that every tongue will confess to God, and that each one will give an account of their own actions. Verse 21, "And it came to pass in the 12th year of our captivity, in the 10th month, on the 5th day of the month, that one who had escaped from Jerusalem came to me and said, The city has been captured. Now the hand of the Lord had been upon me the evening before the man came who had escaped, and he had opened my mouth, so when he came to me in the morning, my mouth was opened, and I was no longer mute." And so word of the capture of Jerusalem reaches Ezekiel. And Ezekiel, the evening before, had been visited by the Lord. His mouth had been opened, and he was able, would be able to speak the word of the Lord. And so, Ezekiel thus would have already been aware of it, as it had been revealed to him by the Lord that Jerusalem had fallen. And yet, in spite of all this, we see Israel was still stubborn and rebellious toward God in spite of everything. Verse 23, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, they who inhabit those ruins in the land of Israel are saying, Abraham was the only one, and he inherited the land, but we are many. The land has been given to us as a possession. Therefore say to them, Thus says the Lord God, You eat meat with blood, you lift up your eyes toward your idols, and shed blood. Should you then possess the land? You rely on your sword. You commit abominations, and you defile one another's wives. Should you then possess the land? Say thus to them, Thus says the Lord God, As I live, surely those who are in ruins shall fall by the sword. And the one who is in the open field I will give to the beast to be devoured. And those who are in the strongholds and caves shall die of the pestilence. For I will make the land most desolate. Her arrogant strength shall cease, and the mountains of Israel shall be so desolate that no one will pass through. They shall know that I am the Lord when I have made the land most desolate because of all their abominations which they have committed." And so Ezekiel points out the arrogance of the prideful Israelites. Instead of great remorse at this point, he points out how could they have continued in such sinfulness, thinking that they were going to go unscathed by God. Many of the Jews would die in the siege of Jerusalem. Many would be taken off to the captivity by the Babylonians. And so God advises Ezekiel that those who still remained in the land were to be warned about their continued rebellion. They somehow believed that God was still on their side. The message of Ezekiel would destroy their argument that they were somehow still right, still good, and still God's chosen, though they had turned against God in every facet of their lives. He pointed out things. They were not to consume blood, but yet they were. They were to stay away from idols, but they worshipped idols. They put their trust in the sword. They were full of adulteries with their neighbor's wives, fornications, every type of sin that you could imagine. And yet they still believed that they were untouchable and God's people. They lived in complete rebellion. Apparently, no matter how much God blessed them, and also how much God would chastise them. The sinful Israelites were going to be sought out by the Babylonians. They would be captured. There would be no place to run, no place to hide. After the slaying of Gedaliah, many would go to Egypt seeking refuge, but yet still, even there, there was nowhere to hide. There was nowhere to run. And so, eventually, they were going to be brought to their knees. Think even of those going to Egypt. We recall Jeremiah chapter 44, beginning in verse 11. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will set my face against you for catastrophe and for cutting off of all Judah. And I will take the remnant of Judah, who have set their faces to go into the land of Egypt to dwell there. And they shall all be consumed and fall in the land of Egypt. They shall be consumed by the sword and by famine. They shall die, from the least to the greatest, by the sword and by famine. And they shall be an oath, an astonishment, a curse, and a reproach. For I will punish those who dwell in the land of Egypt as I have punished Jerusalem, by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence, so that none of the remnant of Judah who have gone into the land of Egypt to dwell there shall escape or survive, lest they return to the land of Judah to which they desire to return and dwell. For none shall return except those who escape. When God says that there is a need for repentance, you better listen. For when God pronounces judgment, it is always sure, and it is always swift and strong. Verse 30. As for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you beside the walls and in the doors of the houses. And they speak to one another, everyone saying to his brother, please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. So they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people, and they hear your words. But they do not do them, for with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. I'm going to repeat that, but this time I want you to focus upon what's happening in the church today. Let's go back to verse 30 again. As for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you beside the walls and in the doors of the houses. And they speak to one another, everyone saying to his brother, please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. The land is full of people today who like to talk about church. They like to talk about how much they love the Lord, how much they love the church. But yet, they're just like verse 31. So they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people. Oh, we come, we fill the pews. We all look pretty and dressed up. We listen to the preacher preach. It goes one ear in one ear and out the other. We walk out the door and go do just as we please until it's time to come back again. They hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love. All you got to do is look on the social media today. All the comments about the love of Jesus and how God is so good, and yet then you go and you turn to your drunkenness, adulteries, modern day idols, jealousies. They give lip service, for with their mouth they show much love. Jesus said, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those that do the will of his Father will. Their hearts pursue their own gain. Indeed, you are to them a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not do them. And when this comes to pass, surely it will come, then they will know that a prophet has been among them. The things that await the evil are going to come to pass. And more than just a prophet, as it was in that day, those words that the faithful gospel preacher preaches today are the words of the direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit in the revealed word. The very word of God. And yet, why do people take no heed to it? God told Ezekiel that the people were going to conspire against him. They would reject his words. They wouldn't listen to what he said. But they would reap what they sowed. They would give lip service. On the surface, many would look like believers, but inside they were full of dead men's bones. John 12:48 says, he that rejects me and receives not my word has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Romans 2:16 points out that God will judge the secrets of men. They will be judged by the word. All will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, according to Romans 14:10-12. Again, 2 Corinthians 5:10 points out that we will all stand before the judgment seat. How long, if you have only given lip service to this point, how long will you reject the word of God? You have the comfort, if you are among the faithful, that God will protect, preserve, and save you like he would the watchman that did his work. Are you a watchman? If you are, then you're full of God's blessings. You are doing the things that will lead to an eternity with your Lord. But if you're in one of two other groups, if you proclaim to be a Christian, but you're not warning others, with giving them the message of salvation, warning them of the danger and the consequence of sin, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Or perhaps you're in that group that's been receiving the warnings and never repented, never turned to a life of obedience. You also will find yourself on the wrong side of eternity. Please make that choice today. Be a true disciple. Be evangelistic. Warn others, speaking the truth in love. For that is a road, that is a way that will help others to heaven and also save yourself. Thank you for joining me this morning. I hope that you will stay tuned through the rest of the day for all of the programming here on the network. If the Lord wills, I'll be with you again next Thursday. Stay tuned tomorrow as we continue our study of Ezekiel, as Brother Chip, I believe, will be leading that study tomorrow. So until next time, this is Chris McElyea saying so long and have a great day.